Hey friends, Kaylee here. Welcome back to another episode of the Becoming Her podcast. We took a little break last week. I was at a wedding. So Abby, I don't know if you ever listened to this podcast, but if you do, congratulations on getting married. I think most of y'all were on spring break. My Facebook showed a lot of y'all at Disney World, which I am honestly incredibly jealous of because that's my home away from home. I love it. Tickets are only $99 right now, and I'm trying to convince Donovan to let us go. But anyways, I am happy to be back. I'm happy to have to be recording this episode. I'm excited to release it tomorrow. I think I have some good stuff here that God has been dealing with my heart about, things that I'm excited to share. As always, please share this on socials. If you see a podcast clip on TikTok or Instagram Reels, please share it to a friend. Leave a review, comment, rate the podcast on Spotify or Apple Music. Apple Podcast, all the things. Everything that you do helps social media push it to more people. This podcast really is a God dream for me, and I'm so thankful for all of you guys who have joined this journey so far. I'm learning how to take it farther, but I do need your help to do that. So again, please like, comment, share, all the things. I want to jump into today's topic. It's one that I've been thinking about for a while. Actually, I want to pause first and say that you guys have probably noticed that I don't have anyone on here. I'm solo again today. Donovan did agree to be on the podcast. Fun fact, he's actually sitting here right beside me. But I had already pre-prepared all of this. And whenever he started talking in our first take of this audio, he went another direction than the direction my notes were taking me. So I was just like, no, you don't have to be on it. You can just sit here for moral support. You got kicked off. It's fine. And if y'all hear my dog in the background, he is literally staring at me and Donovan trying to get us to play fetch and trying to get us to give him all the pets. So he'll probably take off barking at something throughout this. So, but anyways, those of you who don't know me may not know this. So if you don't know me, of course you don't know this, but I'm an Old Testament girly. Literally, I would be down for some good old fashioned, Bible, specifically Old Testament Bible trivia. That's not to say that I don't love the New Testament or that I don't love reading about miracles and all of the Marys and all of the things, but there is just something about the Old Testament characters and the stories that just really rev me up. I love Elisha. Like, his bones were so anointed that when a dead guy was thrown on his bones, the dead guy woke up. That's actually crazy. And then you have Elijah. He took praying the rain away to a whole nother level. You have Moses and David and Esther and Ruth and just these super awesome people who did not have the luxury of the Holy Spirit that we have today. And yet they still left this massive legacy behind them that we get to read about and try to understand today. I love it. I love the Old Testament. So I want to share something from the Old Testament that I've been thinking about truly on and off for months. And I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to wait till I have the right moment or when I feel like it's time to release this or whatever. But honestly, this word has been staring in my heart for months, and I just want to release it because I think that you guys may find it relatable. Just to give a little backstory, we're going to talk about the Israelites today. And just to give a little backstory about the Israelites, this group of people was plentiful because of Joseph and his obedience to God. And if you want to know more about Joseph, that's a different episode for a different day, and a day when Donovan can actually be on here and go along with my case notes or my study notes. But the Israelites were plentiful because of the obedience of Joseph. And Egypt, the Egyptian Pharaoh, did not appreciate how strong these Israelites were or how plentiful they were. And so he decided to make them slaves. And despite making them slaves, they got stronger. They had more kids. They were continuing to flourish. And so what he decided to do is kill the boys, kill their sons. Not the girls, not the daughters, just the sons. And one woman was disobedient to the command to kill her male children. And out of her disobedience to her government, we have Moses. And I'm trying to recap quickly, because if you've ever been in a church for longer than 20 minutes, you've probably heard the story of Moses. And so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time there. And honestly, that's not even what I wanted to talk about. It's just impossible to talk about the Israelites without talking about Moses. So just to continue with the backstory here, Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. And when he learned the truth about his background, he was just a little bit salty that the man who raised him could make his people into slaves. And so out of his saltiness, he murdered an Egyptian man and he left before Pharaoh could kill him. So while he's in the countryside, you know, he flees Egypt and he runs through the countryside. And while he's in the countryside, he starts living his best life. Like, he meets a girl and he has children. And out of nowhere, one day, he sees this bush on fire, but it's not burning. And he goes to investigate why this bush is not burning. And then God speaks to him and calls him to go into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let God's people go. And I promise I'm getting to the good part and to the punch of today's episode, but I want to pause and say that often one thing that I have learned about the Lord is that God will call us. Y'all hear that dog? I know y'all hear that dog. Go get him, please. One thing that I have learned is that God will call us out of our comfort and out of what our definition is of our best life into a place that He has for us. Literally, Moses was minding his own business and bam, ring, 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 it's God on the line with a calling. And world history would be much different if Moses had not answered God's call to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Like, who knows what the world we live in today would look like if the Israelites have gotten to stay in power against God's people. So I said all that to say that as you listen to this and in the days after you hear this, please take a moment to evaluate your life and your heart and say, God, what is it that you're actually wanting me to do? Is it to host a women's conference or to start a Bible study or homeschool your kids or quit your job to be a stay-at-home mom? Or is it to find a job and stop being a stay-at-home mom? Like, what is it that God is nudging you to do right now that could potentially interrupt your version of your best life, and what's holding you back from doing it? Moving on. Moses had decided to take up this leadership task that God had called him to. He leads Israelites out of slavery. God parts the Red Sea. There's a whole lot of really cool stuff that happens that the Israelites witnessed firsthand as they were coming out of slavery. And this is where I actually want to stop and stay and linger. The Israelites, when they were in slavery, they were forced to work hard. Like, honestly, I can't even imagine the hard work that we were required to do. You know, we kind of joke around on social media, especially as girlies, about what it looks like to be married to blue collar men. But these Israelites were like blue collared men on speed. I mean, they are working hard. They're not building houses. They're building bricks. They are moving things and lifting things and carrying things. And in the midst of all of that, they're being told to kill their male children. No, this is no easy life that they live. So they get out of Egypt. They get out of slavery. They're on day 3 of what's supposed to be an 11-day journey. They're hot and they can't find water. They're probably tired, and they are bitter. And this is where we really see the first sign of the grumbling Israelites. So, I mean, let me just read it for you really quick. Hold on. It's Exodus. I think it's like Exodus. Some. Hold on. 1 second. Okay. Okay. It's Exodus 15. And it says, then Moses led the people out of Israel away from the Red Sea. So, right, the Red Sea has just been parted. They move out into the desert. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. Remember, we're on day 3. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set them to the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. And he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all of his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So, mind you, they've just seen this miraculous wonder of the Red Sea being parted, and they are now in the desert, and they just seen this miraculous miracle of bitter water turning sweet. And then we go to Exodus 16. And it says, then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, one after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. What's actually crazy about that is that the Israelites were willing to go into the wilderness on day one, but now they're like a month into their journey. Well, 3 days into their journey, they were crying about water, but now they're a month into their journey, and they are saying, I would have rather been left alone in Egypt. In Egypt, I had food to eat and water to drink, and now I'm in the wilderness. You've brought me out here to die. And that's actually like, that's so bizarre to me, because the Israelites were in actual slavery. Life was not easy for them. They were being forced to kill their children. I can't relate to what slavery would look like. I have no idea. But think of that and then multiply it. Because that's, I mean, they didn't have modern technology. They're literally building bricks out of mud and being forced to kill their kids. Like, and then they have the audacity to say, you should have left me in Egypt. That is just so, so bizarre to me. I want to bring depression up. Y'all know from previous episodes that I have struggled with depression in the past, right? So what the Israelites are saying would be the equivalent of me saying, I preferred being depressed over being mentally healthy, because now that I'm mentally healthy, I'm actually having to learn to deal with my emotions instead of being numb to them. Like, if I told y'all that in person, y'all would be like, okay, that's actually crazy. And it actually would be crazy. In no way, shape, form, or fashion do I ever want to be depressed again. Like, life was not easier because I was depressed, even though I did used to try to convince myself that it was. But it wasn't. So, as I read this story of the Israelites, I just wonder if they would have left Israel if they knew what it would take to get to their promised land. And sometimes I wonder that about myself, honestly. Like, my 8-year-old self that stood on the steps at the Kids Crusade at Trinity Gospel Tabernacle, like, 20 years ago, would she have done that? Would she have went to the altar, asked Jesus to come into her heart, prayed the sinner's prayer? Would 8-year-old Kaylee have done all of that if before I got to the altar, God met me and said, hey, if you get saved tonight, you're going to lose kids and your husband's going to get diagnosed with cancer and people who love God are going to break your heart in ways you never imagined, and marriage isn't going to be easy and this is going to happen and that's going to happen, but congratulations on getting saved. Like, would my 8-year-old self have went to that altar and been like, oh yes, Jesus, come into my heart? I don't actually know what I would have done. Like, I literally don't know. And I wonder that about the Israelites. Would they have ever left slavery if they knew that the wilderness was coming? I want to bring up depression again because I do feel like it relates here. If I knew that depression meant that I would have had to forgive or be intentional to not lay in bed all day, I don't know that I would have just chosen that right off the bat. Like, some of the people that I was forced to forgive, not forced to forgive, that's not good wording, because God calls us to forgive. But if I would have known that in order to be free from depression, I was going to have to forgive people that, in my opinion, didn't deserve my forgiveness, or that I was going to have to be intentional about not laying in the bed all day and scrolling my life away on Instagram, or that I was going to have to actually put forth effort into being healed, I don't know that I would have just immediately chosen that. I do think that I think as people, we want freedom without the cost. Like, I want to be debt-free, but I don't want to have to discipline myself with money. Or I want to be skinny, but I don't want to go to the gym. You know, there's a number of different things that I think that we do as people where we want the end result, but we don't want the middle result. And when Moses was leading the people out of Israel, he was leading them to the promised land, to the place that God had called them to go. And they wanted that. They wanted to go to the land where God was calling them to go. This land was fertile and it was good for planting crops and it was good land. But I don't know if they would have chosen that if they would have known what the wilderness was going to look like. I mean, I'm just thinking about these people. And for the first time in their life, they're having to trust God for something. That's so interesting to me. Because it's not in our nature, I think, to trust God in general. And, I mean, there were several generations of these Israelites that had been in slavery. I should have done my research on how many, but these people had never seen a move of God. Like, the generation that left Egypt wasn't the same generation of people that were fruits of Joseph's seed. Like, several generations had passed between Joseph and the time of the Israelites. And so they're just going off of this legacy of, oh, my ancestors said this about God, or my ancestors said that about God, so I'm going to believe in him because that's what my family did. When they don't actually, like I said earlier, they didn't have the luxury of the Holy Spirit. They weren't in constant contact with God. They were just in a space in history where they had hoped that he would move. Because that's what their ancestors said that he did at one point in time. And so it's actually super interesting to me, just the whole, the Israelites in general. But I saw this quote on Facebook the other day. I want to bring it back in. I saw this quote on Facebook the other day that basically said to pick your hard. The quote said that being obese is hard, but so is being healthy. And being in debt is hard, but so is being financially disciplined. And being married is hard, but so is being divorced. You know, there, lots of things are hard. And I think that the reality is that we have to pick our hard. You know, would you rather be healthy or would you rather not be? Would you rather be obedient to God or would you rather not be? Because both of those things require sacrifice. So, anyways, I want to wrap up. I can talk a lot and I like to talk, so I'll keep going. So I could keep going, but I won't. But I want to leave y'all with a few thoughts. First, do you think the Israelites would have left Egypt if they knew what life would look like after the Red Sea was parted? Two, is there anything that God is calling you to do that may cost you something? Maybe God is calling you to take a break from socials, or calling you to give someone money, or calling you to go back to school or back to work, or maybe he's calling you to quit your job or homeschool your kids. You know, what is that thing that you feel like God is calling you to do? And then the other question is are you willing to do it even though you fear that it will cost you something? The last thing I want to share is that it took a while, but eventually the Israelites made it to where God had called them to go. And again, I don't know what God is calling you to do, but I can tell you that the struggle of obedience is much greater than the one of disobedience. I talk a lot about Donovan's diagnosis on this podcast, and I want to bring it up because Donovan getting diagnosed with cancer was potentially one of the hardest things that I've had to deal with. But the season of walking through this has been the most fruitful season of my life, and it's because I chose to walk through it. Not to sulk or cry about it or ask God why I had to go through it, but to walk through it. And I don't know where this journey comes out for me, but in the middle of it, I've learned that I'm a good writer. I've learned that I am capable of doing a podcast. I am reminded of my ability to have faith for things that feel impossible. And I have learned that I love Jesus and Donovan more than I thought that I could. Every hard thing leads you to something greater. That's just reality, especially if Jesus is in the center. And I encourage you today to put him in the center of all of your decisions and charge toward the life that he's called you to live. It may cost you some things like pride and discipline and grace, but it will literally be the best decision that you've ever made. So, anyways, thank y'all for listening to this week's episode of the Becoming Her podcast. Again, like, comment, share, all of the things, and I'll see y'all next week.